And we'll go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Good stuff. Amen. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. And brethren, we're going to pick up at verse number 21. Proverbs 24, verse 21. Proverbs 24, verse 21. Bible says this. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Father, thank you for your word. Help us tonight. Guide us, direct us in all truth, wisdom, and understanding. Help us to glean and apply what we glean. And this, Father, we ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay, brethren.
Ran on that chain thing, didn't it?
What's that?
Didn't Obama run for change?
Yeah, you're right. Meddle not with them who are given to change. That will definitely apply, I believe, brother. Amen. You're right. Amen. Tonight, brethren, as we look through this, there's going to be something in verse number 22 we're going to look at that we're really going to have to take our time with, but we'll wait till we get there. Look at verse 21. My son. My son. Brethren, Solomon instructed his son just as David had instructed him. A father is to instruct. A son is to receive the instruction. So remember that. He says, my son. And he's getting ready to instruct his son, just like his dad, David, had instructed him. That's what a father's to do. Guys, we're to instruct our children. All right? We're to instruct our children. Moms, if dad's not around, you got to instruct them. Moms, it's not your place to have to do a dad's place, but if you do, more glory to you. Really. More glory to you. If you'll take up that thing, if there's not a dad there and you got to take and do, you do what you got to do. But dads, if you're there, instruct the children. You can't slough it off on mom. You instruct them. The children, your job is to receive it. That's your task. Your task is to be thankful for it and receive it and realize, look here, you know what Solomon did? And I told you this before. Solomon was a grown man. He was a grown adult man. I've wondered if he was maybe close to 40. I'm not exactly sure, but he was a grown man. And when he became king, do you know what he told the Lord? When the Lord said, Solomon, what do you want? I'll give it to you. And he could have asked his enemies, and God would have given him his enemies. He could have asked for long life and riches, and God would have given it. God told him he would have done it. You know what Solomon said? He goes, I'm a child. I don't know how to go out or come in. Give me wisdom. I can lead this thy so great a people. You know what he prayed for? Wisdom. And you know what he said about himself? I'm a child. Now he wasn't. He wasn't, brethren. He wasn't, brethren, in the sense of what we would think. But Solomon was wise enough to know he needed to ask for wisdom. Because earlier in Proverbs, we see that his daddy told him that. David, from what we can tell in Proverbs, instructed him, Solomon, get wisdom. And with all that getting wisdom, get understanding. So Solomon knew what to ask for. And he did. But he considered himself to be a child. As a grown man, he's like, I don't know anything. I'm a child. Well, that's it. I was talking to Brother Tim the other day, and we were talking about, I said, let me tell you something. I said, the older I get, the more I realize I know nothing, and God, you, Lord, teach me, show me, guide me, help me. Seriously, that's a fact. So young folks, a parent's job is to instruct. Your job is to thankfully and with humility receive the instruction. Always confirming everything by the Scriptures. So look what he says. He says, verse 21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King. So Solomon instructed his son to fear two authorities, the Lord and the King. That's God's authority and man's authority. God's authority first, and then man's authority. Brother, listen, you and I are never to be rebellious against God-ordained authority. Never. We know not to be rebellious against God. But brethren, not against man's authority neither. And you're always under some kind of authority. You are. Whether it be the state, the government, whatever, the job, you're always under some kind of authority. And Solomon instructs his son to fear the Lord and the King. Look at that. Fear both of them. Fear the Lord and the King. God's authority first and then man's authority. Go to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1, the Bible says this: let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Brother, when Nebuchadnezzar was ruling, God allowed him to be in that position, and he was to be submitted to. Nero did not have rule in Rome other than the fact that God, other than the only reason why God allowed him to have it. Was he a wicked man? You better believe it. You better believe it. But God allowed him to be in that position, and he was to be obeyed as long as obeying him did not contradict God's word. Look, Romans 13, verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now let me make a little side point. In your Bible, there is other damnation than there is other damnation other than eternal damnation. You understand? When the Bible speaks of damnation, it is not always referring to hell and the lake of fire, and it's not always referring to that. Damnation in the Bible is if you look up in the dictionary, damnation has to do with punishment. Eternal damnation is hell and the lake of fire. But there is, listen, brother, there is damnation for a believer that is rebellious. You look over 1 Corinthians 11, but it's not eternal damnation. And this kind of damnation that's being spoken of here is punishment. Punishment levied against those who are rebellious against God-ordained authority. But if you resist man's or God-ordained governmental right authority, you're going to receive yourself damnation. You're going to be punished. And you brought it on your own head. Now, brethren, when you take, and in order to obey, when you disobey man's authority in order to obey God, God will give you grace. God will help you. But that's the only case. That's the only case. Brethren, I will tell you something. Did you know for the most part, if you just take and honor God and obey the rules and the laws, you're going to avoid most trouble. Did you know that, brethren? Did you know that you don't have to go around looking over your shoulder all the time? That, listen, I know bad times come in this world, and I know bad times are coming. The Bible tells us that. But brother, for the most part, if you just obey the rules. Obey the rules. And brother, a lot of rules out there may be oppressive, but if they don't contradict the Bible, you can obey them, and you'll be fine, and everything will go on fine. And you can live your life. All right? Yes, some things are oppressive. Some things are probably unjust. Well, then all you can do is vote somebody in that'll change them around or pray that they'll get changed and then just submit to it. Submit to it. And obey it. As long as it doesn't contradict the Word of God. Let me tell you something. Look here. Look here. Now, you take your brother Chris when he was highway patrolling. You know what? If I was going down the road and Brother Chris had pulled me over for speeding and he'd seen it was me, I'm going to tell you what I'd have told him. You better give me that ticket. Ulysses S. Grant did that. He got a ticket for speeding when he was president. And the guy said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. President." He said, "Write your ticket out." He said, "Seriously, they had speeding back then. They had cars. I know they had horses." Seriously. And he was going down. Grant liked to ride fast. And look here. You brother, look here. I would have said, "Well, now, Brother Dolph, no. No, brother, I'm not gonna put that man on the spot, by the grace of God, where he's having to take and like, well, that's my pastor, that's my friend, and don't do him like that." But that would be wrong to say, "Come on now, no, that's his job. I did wrong. Better write me that thing out. I did wrong." Listen, Ben, watch this. Let me tell you something. Listen to me, Ben. You wearing your seatbelt in your car. You like wearing your seatbelt. Ben, you know what you ought to do? Wear your seatbelt. You know why y'all wear your seatbelt? It's a law. Amen. So, Brother Austin, I don't go along with it. Well, hey, we could debate that thing all day long. But you know what? You are not violating Scripture to pull that seatbelt. And when preachers stand in the pulpit or make an issue about that, they're wrong. You hear me? They're wrong. They are rebellious. And they're wrong. Because you are not violating Scripture to put that seatbelt on. Now, you may not go along with it. You may think it's not saving your... You may... Whatever. But you're not violating Scripture. Let me tell you something. I believe it saves lives. That's Highway Troman. That was a Highway Troman. That was his job. He knows. They made a believer out of me when I was... I remember a teenager. I remember watching something. A state patrolman came by. You say, well, Brother Dawes, but there are some cases... All right. You better play the odds. In most cases, if you can stay in... I remember that state patrol when I was a kid. I will never forget it. He said there's room to live in that car. He said, if you can stay in that car, you might get banged around. You might get thrown around. But if you can stay in that car most of the time, there's room to live. You get thrown out of that thing, you're in a mess. Oh, brother, look here. Once again, brother, next thing you know, I'll be telling you, you can't smoke in your car. Well, that really is not going to bother me. I'm going to tell you. Man, look here. I'm going to tell you a lot of things. Man, you know a lot of things. Listen to me. Watch this. You better be careful what hill you choose to die on. You better be careful how far you take your stand. You better ask yourself, do you want to go all the way to this? Are you willing to go to jail? But there's some things that I'm just ain't willing to go to jail for, brethren. You know what I'm saying? May God help me to love the Word of God and the things of God enough to be. May God help me with that. Brethren, there's some things it's like, that's just not that big of a... Better choose your battles carefully. Better choose your battles carefully. Better think real hard about it. And you better be careful about rabble-rousers that stir you up. And then you act on it and you pay the price. Be careful. Be careful about it. Brother, I'll tell you this too. Do you know a lot of things? If people would just keep their mouth shut, people would leave you alone. Did you know that? Did you know a lot of things? If people would just keep their mouth shut, people would leave them alone. So, brothers, what are you saying? Listen, let's suppose there's an ordinance about, I don't know, your car, your house. Did you know that if you're just kind of the best you can, minding your business, trying to do right, did you know most time nobody's going to mess with you? Make a stink. Stand out. Be arrogant. You're a magnet. I'm serious. Did you know a lot of time, look here. Let's suppose somebody steps on their mobile home or not in code. I honestly believe these guys have better things to do for the most part. I don't believe they're out there like, I'm looking. I got my tape measure. I bet your steps are out. I just don't believe that. I just don't believe doing that. Oh, the guys got better things to do. Yeah. Until you go and make stink or run your mouth. You draw attention to yourself. Brethren, I'm just telling you. I know there are a lot of things that are wrong. I understand that. A lot of things that are oppressive. I understand that. But the answer is not you being rebellious or you being civil disobedience. Civil disobedience is fine when you got to stand up for the book. Comes down between man's laws and God's laws. You've got to obey God. You've got to. But when it's not violating Scripture, be careful. Watch this. Verse 3, Romans 13, 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Did you see that? Rulers are not a terror to good works. Rulers are a terror to evil. Well, brother, stop. That was written under the Caesars. They crucified people for stealing. You understand me? These people didn't play. For stealing, they would nail you to a cross. These people didn't play. But yet your Bible says, rulers. Nero, Caligula, guys like that, you know what I'm saying? Bad guys. But rulers are not a terror to good works. If you'll just do right, keep your mouth shut, love God, walk with Him, for the most part, you don't need to worry about it. Rulers not here to good works, but evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Do you realize that? Rulers are ministers of God. Even though for the most part they're usually going to hell, they're usually lost, hell bound. Pretty wicked, but they're ministers of God. You know what the Lord called Nebuchadnezzar? My servant. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't even know him. because God used him as his hammer. Look here. It says, verse 4, "But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whose custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Amen. Brethren, there you go. Now look here. If you want to take and be a tax protester, okay, but don't come around me with that mess. Don't look for me to back you up. Don't look for me. No. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you something. You start that stuff, I'm liable to church you. I'm serious, brethren. If I had somebody in this church that was going to try to take and be a tax protester, I would probably bring it before the church and exercise church discipline against a person like that, because I believe it violates Scripture. I believe it violates Scripture. Let me tell you why, brethren. Look here. I don't care about your technicalities. I don't care about you. All I know is this. They brought to my Lord. They tried to trip him up. And he said, "Whose image and superscriptions on that thing?" "Caesar's. Render to Caesar's what's Caesar's. Render to God what's God's." You don't like the tax laws? Vote them. Chain, be chained. Do what you can. Do your part. You've done your part. Don't go that route. Yeah, but Brother Doss, I know. Income tax has been ruled unconstitutional 2 times before. But here we are. This is where it's at. Don't go that route. They came to the Lord. You know what the Lord said? They came. Did your master pay tribute? And I just people say, "Well, that was a temple tax." I don't care what kind it was. Our Lord said he was. Our Lord made the case that he basically wasn't under it, but he said, "Lest we offend them." Let me say something. Not paying your taxes. Let me ask you something. Will you do more harm or good for the cause of Christ by not doing it? You tell me. You know what she's about? It's about, most of the time, it's about you. Jesus said, "Lest we offend them." He said, "The servants," he said, "the children are free." In other words, the principle he was getting across to be that, you know what? You didn't have to, but he's like, we don't want to offend them. Go grab a fish out there. First thing comes up, we'll take them. I'm serious, brethren. I'm serious. Just stick the book. Take your Bible, go to Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 27. "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." There you go. We just read Romans 13. You better obey the ordinances. You better do it. You better toe the line. You better obey man's ordinances. But when they contradict God's word, you must disobey. I want to tell you something. When your heart's right, you won't disobey with an attitude. You won't get in nobody's face. You won't become a magnet. You won't say, "Look at me." You won't trumpet it out. You won't put out newsletters about it. You'll just do right. Like Daniel did. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Can you imagine those fellas? "We protest. This is wrong. We're what?" They didn't do that. They just didn't bow down. You see Daniel standing up on his house, "Watch me, I'll pray." No, he's prayed. Do you think Daniel wanted to go to a den of lions? I don't think so. But he feared God above all. And he did right. A while ago I said I'd probably church somebody. Possibly would be a matter to bring up, because I don't tell you what, I think it's rebellious. And it'd bring a bad testimony to church. I wouldn't say I'd exactly do that. I'd have to wait and see if it come up. But I'm saying, folks, I'm just trying to warn you. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you get off on that stuff. Look here. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. verse 13. I'll tell you, I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation, was on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus, and not paying taxes. Huh? One of those didn't fit. You take a guess. John was on the Isle of Patmos, what? For the Word of God, testimony of Jesus. Not because he didn't pay taxes. And I'm just telling, folks, look here. I'm the pastor. I'm going to help you. All right? Yeah, look here. Testimony of Jesus, Word of God. Amen. There you go. There you go. Anything else? Mm-mm. Look here. 1 Peter 2, look at verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Great day, man. What are you going to do with that? It says what it says. It is what it is, you know? Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How do you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men? Well-doing. Well-doing. Well-doing is how you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And that was pagan king. He didn't say worship him, did he? He said honor him. Because he's a king that God set up. Get it straight, brethren. Get it straight. Be careful. Look here, brethren. But let me tell you something. I've known some people who, I mean, knew the laws. They knew the laws. And even when they thought they did. And, I mean, they would go around and not take driver's licenses and not do all. But, brethren, you can't believe the hoops you have to jump through and the trouble it causes. I knew a guy, look here. He did not, I knew about a guy in the area who didn't have a driver's license. And you know what? Look here. They would still stop him. He still go in front of the court. And sometimes he would get out of it. The man went ahead and found. But he still had all the mess to go through. Can I tell you something? What are you proving? Is it violating Scripture to take a driver's license?
No.
Is it violating Scripture to take? Well, brother Dawson, I'm telling you, if it's taken, and you know, and we should be free and the hunting and fishing. Wonderful, man. Great. But there's bigger fish to fry, and does that thing doesn't have eternal consequences? How about the souls of men? How about me and dying and go, I'm not wasting my time on that stuff? But men need to hear the gospel. Can you imagine that fella right there when he was a highway patrolman? Can you imagine? Brother Doss, what if he pulled, you know, there's a brother here in the church and didn't believe, I'll tell you who I'd support, that man right there. So, well, brothers, you mean if Chris had to put somebody in jail, a brother, brother's fault. That man's honoring an authority. That man can go to Bible principles and back it up. That other can't. Do you understand me? If there's a guy not taking a driver's license, I'm sorry, brethren. I can't find where he can go to that book and justify that. But that man can go to the book to justify what he has to do in his job. Do you understand me, brethren? Listen, don't you get off on a tangent on something that's out in the wild blue yonder. Don't do it. You better be careful. You better be careful. You better watch yourself. Let me tell you something. Again, what does it do for the cause of Christ? What does it do for the cause of Christ? I guarantee you this. Man gets pulled over for speeding. Watch this. Yes, sir. I was. Sorry about it. No excuse. I was late, but there's no excuse. It was. Here's all my stuff. Yes, sir, officer. Sir, but I would like to. I know. Can I leave you that before you leave? Thank you. Versus another guy who's a Christian. No, I got a license. I'm free. Yeah, I'm not under. All right, Mr. Give him a track. You tell me which one's going to have more effect? Which one? Which one's got more effect? That's why your Bible says, not, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, that you may with well-doing put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. There it is, brethren. Be careful about wild-eyed statements and stuff that get you riled up and rhetoric that stirs you up, but don't line up with the book. Let's go on. Take your Bible. Go to 1 Peter 3, verse 13. 1 Peter 3, 13. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? That's what the rule. They crucified people. And he said, if you do good, who's going to mess with you? I know there's exceptions, and he's going to deal with that. But we're talking overall, just generally speaking. Verse 14, but, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Hey, for what sake? Righteousness. Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither to be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You know what they said about Daniel? You know what they said about Daniel? Nothing. We can't get him on nothing. They say if we're going to get Daniel, we've got to get him concerning his God. But it'd be one thing. It ought to be said about you and I. What's the matter with this guy? He's agreeable. He complies. Hadn't given us any trouble. We told him that, you can't pray in this. You can't pray here for his meal, and he did. And but other than that, don't you see, brother? Don't you see? Don't you see what I'm saying? But it ought be that the only thing they got you on is where they've had to twist something around to mess with you concerning your faith, but nothing else. We're supposed to set the standard. Take your Bible, go to Titus 3. Verse 1. Them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Sad to say, preachers are some of the worst ones to produce the opposite effect in this thing. This attitude that you're supposed to be in somebody's face, and you're supposed to it ain't in there, brother. It's not there. Stand? Oh, yes. Be steadfast? Oh, yes. Bold? Yes. Arrogant? Never. Prideful? Never. In your faith? Never. Bold? Yes. Timid? Never. Humble? Always. Meek? Always. Timidity is not the same as meekness. God wants His people bold with meekness. Peter and John, we must obey God rather than men. You didn't see them. Hey, you read my lips. You go, not in front of that authority. Do what you got to do. We must obey God rather than men. We've got to. No brawlers, gentle, showing all meekness and all men. All right. Brethren, you know what the fear of the Lord is? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, evil way, forward mouth. Brethren, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. To fear the king would be to obey the king's decrees as long as they don't violate God's word. Now go back to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. The word meddle in the dictionary means to have to do, to take part, to interpose and act in the concern of others. You know, like meddling in somebody's affairs. When you meddle with something, it's like you get involved, you're having a part, you're partaking of something that's not yours. It's got to do with somebody else. The word change means any variation or alteration in form, state, quality, or essence. Believe it or not, change in Webster's 1828 dictionary also means a revolution. Think about the light of what we're looking at. Brethren, those given to change, here's some examples of those that you don't need to meddle with, those you don't need to meddle with that are given to change. Number one, those that are given to change in their temperament. I guess we would term them moody sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Those that you find one way, the next time it's like, man, who am I going to find today? It's, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. You know, so, listen, those people that are given to change in their temperament, be careful what you enter into with them. They're unsteady. Be friendly to them, but don't meddle with them. You understand me? Somebody that's changeable like that, they're given to change. You never know how you're going to find them. Their temperament is always given to change. Be careful about entering into any alliances, contracts, anything binding with such a person. You'll get yourself in a fix. All right? If they're unsteady like that, be friendly to them, but don't meddle with them. All right? Let me say this. You also need to be careful with those who are never content or satisfied. Always looking for a change. Home, job, furniture, church, government. Yeah, I mean, seriously. You know what I'm saying? I've known people better than I've known my relatives. I mean, it's like, it's almost like every month the whole decor of the whole place has changed. I don't mean switching things around. I mean different. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I'm going to tell you something. Young men and young women, you better look. If you got your eyes on a young man or young girl and they're given a change, in other words, they're never satisfied. It's always changing. It's always, you better watch them. Don't meddle with them. Be friendly to them. Hey, how you doing? Don't meddle with them. Don't meddle with them. Brother, it's one thing. Listen, it's one thing to want change because of wrong or a genuine need. It is another to be given to change. You with me? But we all get change at times. It's a change of scenery, a change of places. But brethren, hey, this world takes into the degree of like, I'll give me another wife, give me another husband. I'm ready for change. They do. It's like they're given to change. They don't stick. They're not steady with anything. Brethren, listen, it's one thing if there's a need or something that you... Brethren, listen to me. It's another to be given to change. It's another if your personality is such that you are never satisfied. Never. You are given to change. To want change just for change's sake or for one's own dissatisfaction. Usually a spirit of rebellion is behind such a thing. Usually a spirit of rebellion is behind such a thing. Take your Bible to number 16. Don't meddle with them giving a change. You know, don't you think it's about time we got to change, you know, get another... Why? Is there a reason? Is there a reason? But it's one thing if a husband wants to take and do something special for his wife or, you know, or vice versa, a wife for a husband. But brethren, when it's a matter of I just want something different. And there's no need. And there's no... Then you know what? There's a problem there.